Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, and a big shout out to the NERS team. It is International Nurses Day and International Day of Midwives is what we're talking about. Champion Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, a very important space. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of CASANAM, that's the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, Dr. Ali Drummond. On the line, Dr. Ali, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, Dr. Ali, can you let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, please?
Deadly. Yeah, I grew up on Waibini on Thursday Island. My people are from the Eastern Islands there, Torres Strait, Miriam, Dorib, Erubam people of the East, and Wurundjeri people there of Cape York. I'm currently on Ngunnawal Ngambri country, and that's where I'm calling you from today.
Lovely. Thank you very much, and big shout out to all your mob. And look, a very important conversation here, talking about International Nurses Day and International Day of Midwives. So championing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives, looking after our brothers and sisters who work in this space. And you've been the CEO of CASANAM. Look, a very important day and acknowledgement, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we celebrate the fact that nursing and midwifery was one of the first professions to let our mob in the doors to train in the hospitals in those days.
Yes.
And so we have a history in the profession that goes back to the early 1900s of mob really, I think, pushing their way through the door to become nurses and midwives. So that's a long history we have of fighting to get in,
yes.
But also fighting for that health justice within hospital health services too.
And we continue today in the 21st century. I know a lot of our mob are enrolling in courses and degrees as nurses and midwives across all universities. So the numbers are looking good for the future as well?
Yeah, look, I think we've got a long way to go. I think what usually happens in workforce aims, we try to get that parity. We try to get like 3.5% of above 3% of workforce participation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I think we're about 1.4% of Australian nursing and midwifery nurses are 1.4% of Australia's nursing and midwives are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and so we are still trying to push for those numbers. But we have over 6,000. Yeah. Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives, and a lot more students in the pipeline.
Fantastic. Well, they're good numbers, but yeah, there's room for more, of course. Let's talk about the space of racism. We need to stamp it out across the board, on the sporting field, in schools, in the workplace. Is there protection there with our nurses and midwives? I mean, because we've got so-called matrioners, people working up in the hospitals. A lot of them non-Indigenous, and a lot of them don't have the cultural awareness education. And so then there's that idea of I'm your boss, I'm higher than you, and low degrading. That sort of form that needs to be stamped out. There's protection there for our nurses and midwives, Doctor?
Yeah, I think we're in a better place at the moment with sort of protection for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives. There's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the stories of the older ones, they really had to fight the system to get into training and to not experience as much racism as in hospital services, health services, but also in the education sector.
Yes.
There is way less of that experience of overt racism, so that's racism people say things, to your face, there is that very obvious expressions of racism. It's more subtle these days, so people, might say, offhand comments or joke about that. So, there are reports of that sort of racism from our members still. But I think importantly is thinking about how racism is enabled in these systems. Mm. So, and I think in a very, obvious place to look is how systems like hospital health services, how they deal with complaints about racism.
Mm. Yes.
How serious do they take these complaints? Who do they side with? They side with the Aboriginal Torsham, the nurse midwife who's complaining about, or do they side with the other person and say, oh, well, that was just a joke? So there's still system challenges, and individuals make up those systems as well. So there's still concerns there. I think where we have made a lot of headway is in the regulation space. So for nursing and midwifery and other health professional groups, there's a national regulation body for each of us.
Yeah.
Ours is in the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Australia, and we've worked with them for years. And so now there's sort of mechanisms through them so we can complain to them about racism that is experienced by Aboriginal and Torres Strait nurses, midwives and students,
yes.
but also patients. So if patients do experience racism, they can now contact the Nursing Midwifery Board of Australia and complain to them about the racism that they've experienced. So there are those sort of national mechanisms. We really need health services like Queensland Health, like New South Wales Ministry of Health, to look at how do they deal with racism within their organisation,
sure.
and how do they take it seriously.
Exactly. And we need to take it seriously, of course, So there's a platform there for support for our nurses and midwives, which is fantastic. Let's talk men and women for nursing, midwives, men and women, yes?
We have men in nursing and midwifery. So I think we're a small number of them, so there's only 10% of us. So only a small number of us, but I think what the research tells us generally is that men tend to be attracted to those leadership roles, so there's more men in those leadership roles.
Sure.
But yeah, there's definitely that gender difference, and I think what we'd like to see more is more men in the nursing workforce in particular, because there is just these different contexts that need that gendered recognition of that gendered approach to health. Thinking about men's health, but there's also other areas as well, so primary health care, where there can be programs that are more focused on men, that we know that if you have men professionals working in those roles, I think those relationships are easier to develop, and sometimes that safety that the community feels, the patient feels, is there because it's they recognise sort of that genderedness. So even though sort of nursing, midwifery have sort of been more recent roles, I think we've always recognised in our own communities the importance of gendered roles, having
yes.
sort of for at certain times, not all the time, at certain times gendered roles. And I think thinking about women and midwifery too, thinking about what knowledge and experience from being women in our communities, they can bring to that role, because it again comes back to those relationships that they have with other women,
exactly.
And the understanding of the experiences of growing up as a woman in our communities. I think those, I think those gendered understandings are so important.
So important
to making the most of our the impact that we can have, I think, in those models.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I want to give a big shout out to all our beautiful nurses out there and our midwives. Champion Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives for the International Nurses Day and International Day of Midwives. Fantastic. And thank you very much for your yarn, Dr. Ali. All the best to you and your team. And we'll yarn soon, Dr. Ali.
No, as well. Thank you, Trevor.
And Big Yawa, we yarn soon. That's all. Beautiful yarn there. That's Dr. Ali Drummond, Kasanam, CEO, Kasanam Conference of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. And we are talking about Champion Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives for the International Nurses Day and International Day of the Midwife. So fantastic. Look, give life. That's what they do. And look after life. So fantastic. Your daily program, National Talk Black, and live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. With Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for National Talk Black, and a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, who puts National Talk Black across the country. National Talk Black. Yeah, that was Black Image, Beautiful Land to See. Big shout-out, Black Image, and big shout-out, Hopewell Mob. Hope you're all well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yarn with the Bully on. Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, and big shout-out to First Nation Radio Stations across this big island, a beautiful black network, and delivering all our deadly music, all our yarns, and a voice for our people. Do utilise it, you mob. Too deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Brothers,
brothers,
arcade. feels like heaven to me. This is paradise right before my eyes. My people have stories to tell about the land and sea. It's where I long to be. So take me home. Oh, P.I., my beautiful home. 40 tribes of Bogum.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying Yan up strong, and a big shout out to the NERS team. All right, NASDA, the fantastic NASDA Dance College, welcomes funding to address equity gap for First Nations students and enhance arts education thanks to the early announced budget. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with the CEO of NASDA. It's Kim Walker. Kim's on the line. Kim Walker, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Ballot. Yep, I'm really good. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a non-Indigenous man. I'm African and Australian.
Okay, brother. Claim you. Thank you.
I'm adopted into several other families.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely. Thank you, brother. And look, fantastic. Money's a tool. It's come your way. Tell us about the funding that's coming to the arts industry as such.
Yeah, I think I love what you just said. Money's a tool. Money's not the end of everything, because if you don't have the programs and if you don't have everything in place, it's not worthwhile having the money. Mm. But we're really happy. You know, NAIS has been advocating for several years now with the government, with various governments, about the lack of funding for NAISA and for the Arts 8 body as a whole.
Good.
And we're very happy. We did a sustainability review. Minister Burke did asked for a sustainability review on all of our organisations.
Yes.
And those results were taken to government, and we're very happy that we've got an extra uplift of funding of $13 million over 4 years for NAISA.
Fantastic.
Which really allows us to take NAISA to the next step, which we're really excited about. We'll be able to do some new programs, so forth and so on. So it's really a really good indication of the government support for NAISA and for the arts.
And when you look at it, arts, we talk dance, we talk stage, we talk the industry behind that, whether it be lighting and what have you, and marketing. It's a fantastic platform as such for our First Nation people to engage in the arts and go into different industries. But we are storytellers, and we use dance to tell our stories. So it's a great vehicle in that sense as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's been a lot of growth in the last 10 years of First Nations in terms of, you know, development in all of the arts fields, especially behind the scenes like stage management, set design, costume design. You have a wonderful organisation up in Queensland called Black Dance, which is like kicking amazing goals.
Yes.
But there's been it's acknowledged that there's a lack of, you know, stage managers, set designers, costume designers, you know, producers and so forth and so on. So we're really happy that we're going to be able to work in that space with those organisations such as Black Dance as well. So that's really exciting.
Look, I know that NAISA do a lot of work. You're based in Sydney, but you do a lot of work across country and also remotely as well, especially up in Torres Straits. So this gives it a greater opportunity now for your students and to branch out and go to traditional owner groups and have those conversations and get permission and share stories and educate the students as well regarding the culture, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're actually in the planning stages. We're going to Moa Island in August.
Yes.
So we're going up on country there to go and sing and dance and weave and fish and do lots of different things, which will be fantastic. Because going on country for our students who, you know, come from all over Australia, you know, haven't been on country. A lot of them haven't been on country. So it's a real learning experience for them. It really gives them a cultural, you know, grounding in themselves. And it gives them inspiration for when they want to create work as well.
And when you say create work, with those conversations with the elders and with traditional owners, there's a protocol and there's permission and there's responsibilities.
Absolutely.
And all that comes
into
play too, doesn't it, Kim?
Absolutely. Well, when we're at training at NAISA, we don't just teach people to dance. We teach them all about the cultural intellectual properties, what you have to do, how you have to kind of go through a process and go through proper protocols when you're creating work, and acknowledge the people that you're drawing your inspiration from. So we're pretty, that, you know, there's a whole rounding of things that we do at NAISA, and that's just one of the things that we do as well.
Can you paint the picture, the journey as a student, maybe up at Torres Straits or out at Cloncurry, for example, and they apply to audition? Is that the process? And when they get selected to become a NAISA student, tell us the journey and how long they do it for.
Okay, so we have, if anyone wants to audition for NAISA, you just got to go onto the, you know, just Google NAISA, N-A-I-S-A, go onto our website and you'll see audition for NAISA and you can just kind of enroll online, which is really fantastic, to come and do an audition.
Mm-hmm.
Abstudy pays for, we have auditions once a year or twice a year. We have one on-site at NAISA and then we have another one later in the year.
Okay.
And Abstudy pays for people to come down for 4 days and we take them through through the paces, we see them dance, we have interviews with them, we do all of that, and then we offer our positions for, you know, the following year in 2025.
Cool.
So, and then, you know, there's 4.5 years of study at NAISA.
Okay.
So you start at the first three level.
And it's a paid position?
Sorry?
Paid positions, yep.
They get funding from Abstudy to attend.
Yes.
There's no course costs, so it's absolutely free, which is fantastic.
Good.
Because it should be free.
Yes.
you know, so should universities, but that's another whole story.
Yes, Kim.
it is free, and, you know, the board is very adamant about the fact that it has to be free for our students.
Sure.
So it's across the boards, it's equal, which is fantastic. And it's a really great opportunity if you love dancing or if you want to be in the arts to come to NASA and experience that. Because, you know, we have the majority of dancers in Bangarra are all from NASA.
Yes.
You know, the artistic director, Francis Rings, is a NASA graduate. And, of course, we've got the wonderful Karool Dance Company, which is in Queensland as well, based in southern Queensland. And they're the two creators of that, Thomas E. S. Kelly and Tari Sansbury, are both NASA graduates as well. So there's lots of work out there and opportunities. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to dance as your career.
Sure, exactly.
And to work in the arts as your career. So, you know, it's a great opportunity. So we encourage anyone who wants to come and try. You don't have to have previous dance experience.
Okay.
Come to NASA and give it a go.
Good, fantastic. And when we're talking dance, we're talking culture. Are the dancers at the table?
Absolutely.
Formats?
We do all forms of dance at NASA. So we do cultural dance with our cultural tutors from Moa and from Northeast Arnhem Land.
Mm.
We also do, you know, urban dance, you know, like hip-hop. We do ballet.
Oh, okay.
We do contemporary Indigenous dance. We do anatomy. We do music. We do dance films, so they got to learn how to make dance films.
So like School of the Arts and Fame. Like School of the Arts and Fame, I'm picturing.
Absolutely. You've got it in one.
Yeah, beautiful. Leroy, yeah. Orin Cara, yes, bringing back memories.
Oh, my God, that's taking me back.
Shut up, too. Well, that's too deadly. Look, congratulations with your funding. Powerful, like I said, the money's the tool. Can help drive this vehicle, this industry further. Great for our mob, great for First Nation culture, great for First Nation people. And Kim Walker, keep doing what you're doing, my brother. Good yarning with you.
Thanks, fella. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right.
Yeah, well. Bye. Beautiful yarn. Kim Walker, CEO of NASDA. And look, fantastic. Very exciting news. Receiving $13 million for the next 4 years to create a fantastic space opportunity for young black people to venture into the industry of the arts, whether you become a dancer or what have you. So do check out the NASDA webpage. And if you're looking at auditioning, then do it. And then there are 4 days, fly you down there, do the audition, interview, so to speak. And then if accepted, then 4 years, you're doing study, dance, and learning culture and getting paid to do it. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, yarning up strong hair, baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
Yeah, Warriors Dance there, Mau Power featuring Astro Brim here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yana's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, 1-800-422-416. All right, planning is underway for Sparkling 20th anniversary event to celebrate community participation in the Wet Tropics and Award. So nominations are open. The Wet Tropics Management Authority manages the Wet Tropics World Heritage Area and 20th Cassery Awards. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Scott Buchanan, Executive Director of the Wet Tropics Management Authority, on the line. Scott, good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Very good morning to you. And where are you based? Where are you at?
Oh, I'm in Cairns.
Okay, lovely.
And, before we go too much further, Trevor, I just wanted to congratulate you on the election in March. So
yes.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Cairns Regional Council need a bit of colour in there, and here I am.
That's right. Well, that's right. And I mean, it's really important. You're the first Indigenous man to represent the council, which is, shocking, really.
No, 194 years. Yes, I agree.
It's fantastic to have your voice there.
194 years, yeah.
That's great.
And I will say, Scott, in the 2 weeks into my campaign back in November is when the now-elect mayor, Amy Eden, I was in her team in the campaign, and she did say if I got in, I'd be the first Indigenous person ever. And I argued a point; I didn't think that was the case, but apparently so. So here I am, and happy to hold the flag for my people, but at the same time, I hold the flag for all constituents in Cairns Regional Council.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Yep. So thank you, Scott. So we've got the awards coming up, 20th anniversary, the Wet Tropics Awards. First of all, just let the people know who Wet Tropics is and the work that you do there, please.
Yeah, sure, Trevor. Listen, we're the Wet Tropics Management Authority, and our role is to, I suppose, protect and present the Wet Tropics World Heritage Area. So the Wet Tropics World Heritage Area is that beautiful part of rainforest that extends from Cooktown all the way down to Townsville.
Yes.
You know, it's the backdrop to this fantastic city. It's a really diverse landscape. It has significant biodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
It has some of the oldest remnants of forests anywhere in the world.
Yes.
And it's also a significant cultural landscape. It's been home to rainforest Aboriginal peoples for thousands of generations. So it's a fantastic location. You know, it's one of the reasons people live up in this area, because we've got the Wet Tropics Rainforest and we've got the Great Barrier Reef,
yes.
Two World Heritage Areas side by side. And, you know, it takes a community to look after that.
Exactly.
And, you know, the Cassery Awards are about celebrating those individuals and those organisations that do a lot of work to protect the Wet Tropics World Heritage Area.
Fantastic. What sort of categories are we talking, Scott, on the awards?
Well, we've got eight categories, and they cross the area from industry excellence. We've got the Climate Change Leadership Award, which is really important, as you know. Education, research, innovation. So that's one award, for educators, for people out there researching, people who are innovating to make the world a better place. The Peter Hitchcock Community Champions, celebrating those people who go out as individuals and year after year, doing fantastic stuff in Wet Tropics World Heritage Area. The Thorsbourne Award for Conservation and Rehabilitation. World Heritage Presentation, people like you, Trevor, those people who tell the story in a real creative way. To share the joint. But, most importantly, we've got the Young Cassery Awards, and particularly for Barma Bipa, we have the People, Country, Culture Awards, which celebrate, the great work that Rainforest Aboriginal people and other Indigenous people are doing to protect and continue that long tradition of stewardship of the Wet Tropics World Heritage.
Scott, you're saying looking after Mother Earth, looking after our rainforest, looking after the Great Barrier Reef. But you did say it's a team effort, it's a community thing. So we're talking private businesses, we're talking government, and we're talking even cultural First Nation people, all at the table, yes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, Cairns Regional Council, previous winners.
Yes.
But we've had a number of, in the history of the awards, so as you say, this is the 20th award this year.
Yep.
In the history of the award, we've had 28 Rainforest Aboriginal peoples or organisations celebrated as well. So, you and I have been out Mundingubbi Ancient Indigenous Tours
yes.
a couple of times. That program has actually won two awards on two separate occasions. Alison Halliday, who's a Doolabed Mullumbarra lady, you know, elder, she's won the Chair's Award. And then, you know, we've had people from Irukandji country, Dr. George Skeen won it, you know, maybe 10, 12 years ago, and more recently Gavin Singleton won it you know, a couple of years ago. So, you know, both Irukandji men. So, you know, the awards go to people for a lot of different things. You know, those tourism operators who are out there presenting and telling the story about the Wet Tropics World Heritage Area, but also those people who are actually out there, you know, digging the holes and replanting trees and getting rid of weeds. You know, it ranges from things that, you know, people are doing just to make the World Heritage Area a better place.
Well, I always say they're looking out, looking for life on planet Mars. We need to look after this planet first, don't we?
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, I always recall seeing a poster, and it was a picture of planet Earth, and it, you know, it's talking about litter, and it says, you know, whenever you say, I'm going to throw it away, there is no away, you know. when we throw it, it still lands in Earth, and we still have to deal with it. So, yes, you're exactly right. We've got to look out for this planet, because really, realistically, there's probably not a planet B for us.
Fantastic. Now, we're talking about the awards, the nominations open for the 20th Kasri Awards. Where has it been held, and at what date and time?
Okay, so, yeah, the awards are going to be held at Jabbagai now, out near, you know, out on Smithfield, that fantastic venue. So that'll be the 6th of September is the awards.
Okay.
We've had it out there a few times, and that's just an amazing facility, you know.
It is.
And the Jabbagai people's put on a great show.
They
provide, you know, that cultural dance and do a fantastic job. So Jabbagai now is where it's going to be held, 6th of September.
And that's open to the public, is it, Scott?
It's invite because, you know, we want to get the people who have been nominated
sure.
to come.
And their family and friends.
So, you know, we get the invites out to those nominees and, you know, a broad section of people who've made the nominations as well. So we'd love to open it to everybody, but we really want to make sure that those people get in and get an opportunity to be celebrated by their peers, I suppose.
That's where the focus is. Otherwise, we'd be talking convention centre, wouldn't we?
That's exactly right.
Oh, Scott, good yarn with you. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to your team.
Just quickly.
Yes, please.
The nominations are open now, so I think you probably let everybody know that. So, you know,
thank
our
you.
Website, wettropics.gov.au, that's where you can go to put nominations, and they're open until the 31st of July. So we'd love to, you know, get a really broad range of nominations and make it, you know, really celebrate.
Scott, that's fantastic. Beautiful. Does. Thanks for sharing, my friend. All the best, and we'll yarn soon.
Good on you, Trevor. Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn. That's Scott Buchanan, Executive Director of the Wet Tropics Management Authority, and we're talking about the nominations open for the 20th Kasri Awards. So for you Daily Mob out there working on country, and if you're running a business on country or you're working with government, either way, it's about nominations for the 20th Kasri Awards and the Wet Tropics Management Authority. It's the 20th Kasri Awards, it's the 20th year. So that's all being held at Jabbagai now on Friday, 6th of September. Nominations are open. You can put in nominations, individual or group or organisation that you feel deserve a pat on the back. So you can go to allthews.wettropics.gov.au/Kasri-awards. Again, allthews.wettropics.gov.au/Kasri-awards. So do check it out. Put in nominations, you mob. Okay, with that, Trendy Trevor, going to sign off for today's program, you mob. Thank you for your company. National Talk Black, one-hour program, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout-out to the NERS team based down there, housed at the Beamer office, Brisbane Digital Media Association. And big shout-out to the Beamer team as well. All right, you mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.